We are talking about transformation. And today I want to just share the amazing journey that you're on. And I wish I was told this or taught this the day I was born again. Like most of us, when I got saved, it was under the idea that you need Jesus or you're going to go to hell. And that's all I really understood. And so I accepted Jesus and was born again, but never really had the idea of what was before me, what the possibilities were other than heaven. And the point of transformation is to know that we can walk on this earth the way Jesus did. We don't have to wait until heaven to walk in all the promises of God and all the power of God in our life. We can have it and walk in it now, but it's through transformation. Many people say it's just believing. Well, believing is a good idea. Just believe, but the question is, how do I believe? How do I get to where I can believe in what Jesus has already paid for? And so it's not as simple as just believing. Transformation is the pathway to help you to believe the truth of who you are in Christ. And so I want us to be encouraged today and know that you are on a journey. I wish someone had told me this, or I had learned it, or was mature enough to understand it, that I started the day I was born again on a new journey of life, a new pathway of life that ends with me spending eternity with God. I now am on a journey to know who I am in God, to become who God wants me to be. That means that the day you were born again, that's when you started on this journey. Everything before then, every experience, every part of you, every good, the bad, every part of you before then was not a part of this journey. This journey is the new you, the real you going forward. You may not know it, but right now you are righteous in Christ. If you're born again, you are the righteousness of Christ. The day you stand before God in eternity, you won't be more righteous then than you are right now, because the new nature is in you, and that's what makes you righteous. You already are righteous, but now you want to walk that out and enforce that righteousness into your life. It's an incredible journey we're on, an incredible opportunity. That means it doesn't matter what family you were born into and what country you're from, your past, your history, your brokenness, the things you struggle with. All those are irrelevant, because what's in you is who you really are. When you stand before Jesus, you realize that you are just like him. Now you have an opportunity through transformation. This is your opportunity. You can have as much of God in your life as you want. It means that you don't have to fix the outward man. You're not trying to fix the brokenness. You're not trying to shine up the outward man. You're trying to mortify the brokenness and say, you no longer can tell me who I am. The outward soul in the outward man tries to tell you who you are, what's going to make you happy, what's going to make you feel good, what's going to make you feel successful in life. And you have the opportunity to say, no, I don't have to listen to you anymore. I have to mortify you. And it's an incredible journey that we're on in this life. The best thing you can do in life when you face challenges is be excited that at least you're facing challenges. There's people who hide from themselves. They hide from their flesh, and they live their life and never really confront their flesh. They never really have the opportunity to grow into who they are. You're on a journey. I like the word journey. You're on a journey where every day you get to grow in God, where every day you get closer to walking in the impossible. You know how few people in this world have walked in the impossible? You are on that journey where if you stay in this process of transformation, praying and worship and meditating the Word of God, to where God will begin to be able to use you in His kingdom on this earth to see the impossible come to pass. I want to start here in John chapter 17 today. And I'm going to read verses 14 through 17. I have given them your word. This is Jesus praying to the Father, talking about his disciples. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world. just as I am not of this world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they may be sanctified by the truth. This is the message every new believer should hear the moment they're saved. Not just that they're going to heaven, but now they're on a journey on this earth to become like Jesus. They're no longer of this world. Earth is no longer their home. This kind of language needs to be so cemented in our churches that every believer knows, welcome to Christianity. You are now a new creature. The old creature you were passed away the moment you were born again. The same way Adam went from light to darkness, you just went from darkness to light. You are now righteous, the righteousness of Christ, because of the new nature in you. And your inner man is now ready to receive the truth of God. And that's the real you. That's the one who counts. The one you struggle with, the fights, the argues, desires that try to pull you away from God. That's no longer you. That's your outward man trying to pull you back into the world. But that's not who you are anymore. You don't have to give in to that outward man anymore. And there's a pathway called transformation that will allow you to grow up inside, in your inner man, in the knowledge of God, and eventually, one by one, you'll begin to mortify the thoughts, desires, the intentions of the outward part of your man. And you'll be able to live on this earth fully as who Christ has made you. You don't need to wait until heaven. You're no longer of this world. So many Christians get born again, and they live their life the best they can for God, waiting for heaven. But Christianity isn't meant just to get you to heaven. It's meant for you to become like Jesus and to shake up this world while you're here. And that's not just for the preachers. That's for everyone. Every child of God, God has a design for you to walk like Jesus and to turn your world upside down, your family upside down, your city upside down. Now let's go over to John chapter 14. My goal today is to encourage you that you're on a marvelous journey. It doesn't matter where you are. You may think you're way behind, but I'll guarantee that you're not way behind. Because the inner man that came to life when you got the new nature is the same quality as anyone else. So it doesn't matter how bruised you were when you got born again. You didn't start behind anyone else. You have the opportunity, if you want, to grow in God and become like Jesus as much as you want today while you're here on this earth. This earth is no longer your home. Heaven and God is your home. I'm going to read verse 1, start in verse 1 of chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now here's Jesus talking to Peter and the disciples. He's sharing with them where he's going. They can't go now because they're not saved. Now, in our Christian philosophy, we kind of have adopted that we have mansions in heaven, that God's building us a mansion in heaven. And, you know, the more you're good and the more good you do on this earth to your neighbors, the bigger your mansion. There's lots of stories and preaching and visions and jokes about mansions. And truth is, you know, we don't spend eternity in heaven. Heaven, we were never supposed to see heaven. Heaven's not our home. The Bible's very clear that we will receive a new earth and a new heavens, a new universe. And that will be the home for us, the new earth, not heaven. Heaven right now is a holding place for people, but it's not where you spend eternity. That's just a holding place until everything has been redeemed and we have a new earth and new universe for the children of God to live forever in that new earth, on that new earth. So heaven's not even our home. It's just a holding place. So God's not interested in building you a mansion. I always joke, well, you know, it's nice to have a diamond doorknob on my mansion in heaven. But if everyone else has a diamond doorknob, it's just a doorknob. It's not anything special. The streets of gold are mentioned are on the new earth, not even in heaven. So we have kind of an accepted philosophy, and it's not harmful, but it's not the full truth. We don't spend eternity in heaven, and God's not building you a mansion in heaven. That word mansion really comes from the word that means a dwelling place, a permanent dwelling place. And in context, what Jesus is telling them is, I have in my Father's home or house are many mansions. So even in his house, he's building mansions inside of his house. He's saying here that in my Father's home, my Father's family, there are many places, dwelling places, where you are going to be able to come and be part of the family of God. So he's not talking about a mansion. And he's not talking about heaven. So much of my young Christian life, I thought here he was talking about, when I die, I have a place to go. That when Alan dies and takes his last breath, I'll have a place prepared for me when I get there after death. That is not what he's talking about. He's talking about when they get born again, after Jesus is glorified, they will come to a place in the family just like Jesus held, and you will become a child of God and will be able to be part of the family of God. This isn't when you die, this is when you become born again. In my Father's house are many mansions, or in the family of my Father, there are many places for new family members. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare your place for you when you're born again, to become seated at the right hand of God would be a better way of placing it. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is not talking about heaven, and it's not talking about a mansion. I always joke with people, you know, you think you're getting a bigger mansion than me? Well, you know, I'll just be lazy and not do anything then. You build a great big mansion, and then when I go to heaven, I'm going to come live in your mansion. What are you going to do? You're in heaven. You can't be jealous. You can't be envious. You cannot kick me out of your mansion. You have to be nice in heaven. So I'll just, you do all the work here, and when I get there, I'll just come live with you. This is not talking about a mansion. This is talking about in the family of God, in the Father's house, in his home. There are room in the family for new members. And that's what he's talking about. And I'm going to prepare your place to become seated with me at the right hand of the Father. And where I go, verse 4, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Talking about salvation, becoming born again. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you are going and how we can know the way. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is a salvation verse. This is not about when you die and go to heaven, you have a big mansion waiting for you. This is saying, I'm preparing a way for you to make God your Father. My Father will become your Father. If you had known me, you would have known the Father also, and from now on you have known him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. For who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? This is so powerful. Because this is what God wants the world to see in you. Listen, let's get past being nice little Christians that go to church and live our life and do nice works. Let's get on this path of transformation to where your family, your friends, your neighborhood, your city will say to you, I see the Father in you. You have transformed so much. I can see God in you. I can feel God. I can be ministered to God through you. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. In verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, talking about salvation, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Stop. Stop everything and look at this verse in context. He who believes in me, he who comes to the Father, he who follows this path that I'm preparing, will become born again, become a child of God. And the works that I do, you will do also. What has the church done with this verse? That's a plaque that's on church buildings in people's homes. But when people came to Jesus, the sick, the maimed, the blind, every single person who came to Jesus, broken, sick, who came to him for an answer, Jesus did not leave them the same. They were healed. They were delivered. They were set free when they came to Jesus. Where is that in our church world today? We want that, but where is it? And that's why this message to me is so important. That's why I'm so excited that you are on this path with me, because God is looking for anyone. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be an apostle, a prophet, a pastor. You just have to be a believer. And the moment you are born again, there is a beautiful, incredible pathway opened up in front of you. It's a spiritual pathway. It's not from this world. And it will give you access, because your inner man now is born again, to hold the truth, the love, the wisdom, the peace, the joy of God, and become it. You can actually become like Jesus in the sense of his characteristics. And that will give the authority for God to heal the sick, open the blind eyes, the deaf ears. This is a path that's in the scripture. We need to see it in our lives. The world is bored with hearing Christians talk about Jesus. They don't believe it until they see it. It's our job as believers to bring forward Jesus and all of his power to the world. That's what the world is looking for. Right now, the world has put Christianity right beside other religions. It's just another religion. The power of God has been missing. And we see glimpses of it here and there through different ministries that are walking in the gifts. And that's wonderful. God's always working every way he can. But there is a message here that says, to you who believe, not to the preachers, the pastors, the apostles, not to the ministers who have buildings or any of that, to you who believe, the things, the works that I do, you can do also, and greater. We believe the greater work is that you can lead people to salvation. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I could preach about that a little bit. When it says ask anything in my name, it doesn't mean like saying the name of Jesus. Like if I just say the word Jesus, then God will show up. It means that everything that the name of Jesus purchased for you, everything that the name of Jesus purchased for you, and that is that you can become like Jesus the moment you're saved. It is a shedding of the outward man, the shedding of your natural ability, your natural man, and building and growing the inner man by the knowledge of God, growing up like Jesus grew up. That's what's available to you as a believer. In this message today, it's to be encouraging, but also it's to expose all of our excuses. Well, I can't do that. I'm just too messed up. My past is too broken. I wasn't brought up Christian. I wasn't brought up right. And you know, we can all pass stories of horror stories of our past, and we'll always find someone who has a worse past than you do and I do. There's always someone who has been harmed and hurt more and broken more. But the point of this message, the point of transformation, is none of that matters. Nothing of your past can hold you back and has limited you and can restrain you from walking in the fullness of God. You may have to fight harder in one area to mortify it than another person does. But that's normal. I have a friend who can, you know, eat three times as much food as I do, and they stay skinny. So I have to eat less to stay skinny, and they can eat three times as much and still be skinnier than I am. That's unfair. But, you know, that's just life. I may have to fight in some areas harder than other areas to overcome, just like you do. But the point is, you can overcome. We can overcome no matter what our past is. And the pathway to walk in this amazing truth of God is transformation. Quit trying to shine up the outward man and fix him up and make the outward man act better and look better. The outward man cannot add anything to the kingdom of God. The inner man is where God builds his truth, his joy, his love, his strength, his authority is built on the inward man. And that's where the believing comes from, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. That's where the believing comes from that's been missing from most of the church. And I want it to be available to you, and I want you to be excited that there's so much potential for you. I don't care how many times you failed. I don't care how many times you struggled. I don't care what mark is on your past of mistakes you made. You have the potential right now to have as much of God as you want, but it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you time in the prayer closet, time praying and seeking God. So many are trying so hard to go out and win the world, but they're limited by how much of God is in them. Every work in the name of Jesus is a good work. But somebody, somewhere, has to go down this transformation path to grow in God, to where Jesus can show up in this earth the same way he was when he walked on this earth, through you, through me, through anyone who will pay the price. Let's go to 1 Peter. And as you're turning to 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read something to you. This is a list that I've got written down of what God says about you. And I'm talking about you right now, not how much of God you've built in you or how strong you are or how you did yesterday or how maybe you failed or succeeded. Irregardless of your success or failure, this is what God thinks about you as one of his children. Jesus made a way for his father to become your father. This is what the word says, he says, about you. It says you're a child of God. You're a branch connected to the vine. You're the apple of his eye. You're fearless. You're free from sin. You're an heir with Christ. You're accepted. A friend of God. You're one with him. You are a new creature. You are the righteousness of Christ right now. You are blessed. You're seated with him in heavenly places. You are chosen. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are his workmanship. You are a member of his body. You have been brought near. You are light. You are a citizen of heaven. You are raised in him. You've been made complete in him. You are loved by him. You are his treasure. You are his masterpiece. You're his child. You are his beloved. That's what God thinks about you. That's you. Now, whether you grow in God, mature in God, whether you stay the same and just do good works for God, that's what he thinks about you. He's always going to think those things about you. As long as you make it to heaven and you hold on to your salvation, you'll always be thought of as his child, his beloved, the apple of his eye. So we don't do this transformation to get him to love us more. We don't do and spend time praying and worshiping and meditating the word so that he will hold us more or love us more or think higher of us. We do those things because we want to be who he wants us to be. We want to change this world. Let him change this world through us. And if you're listening to this, you've already been down the path where you tried so many things and you've been bored with Christianity. You ever hear the story, the songs, "If I had known then what I know now, if I could just tell my younger self," I don't know if I would have listened to him as my younger self, but I sure wish I had the opportunity to know these things when I first got saved. I would tell myself, welcome to an amazing, incredible, unearned journey that's laid out before you, a path that will bring you into the power of God, into holiness, into actually becoming the love of Jesus, the peace of Jesus. Don't worry about your past. Don't worry about your insecurities. That's all in your natural man. You'll be mortifying those. But build up the inner man, because there is a transformation happening where one day you will walk like Jesus. Go lay your life down. Go pay the price, because it'll be worth it. That's what every new believer needs to hear. More than just Jesus loves you the way you are. He does love you the way you are. But he doesn't want to leave you there. He wants and needs people, children of his. God needs his children to be like Jesus. That was the whole reason Jesus was excited to go and the Holy Spirit to come. Because instead of having just one Jesus walking around healing the sick, he was about to have multitudes of believers walking around doing and allowing God to work through them the way that he worked through Jesus. But that's been lost for generations on the church. And he's pleased with anyone who preaches Jesus. But he's looking and longing for someone willing to go down this path with him. And as much as you may look to your mistakes and struggles and weaknesses, you shouldn't be discouraged by that and think, oh, I got so far to go. You should be encouraged that, man, I'm able to overcome those. I'm able to overcome those. I'm in 1 Peter. And we'll start in chapter 1 and read from verse 22. "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." That's talking about your new nature. You're born the first time of a corrupted nature from Adam, but you've been born again. You now are born again. Remember, I used to make fun of people who would say, "Hey, it's my birthday. Wish me happy birthday." And I say, "Oh, happy birthday. I apologize. I didn't know it was your birthday. I didn't see it on social media to remind me." And they say, "Oh, not my natural birthday, but my Christian birthday, the day I was born again." And I'd pat them on the back and, "Oh, that's so cute. Oh, that's sweet." And kind of make fun of them. Like, yeah, you're being a little spiritual there, buddy. But now as I learn more about this transformation, I realize that I really never existed. Remember when God told Adam, if you eat of the fruit, you will die? Well, see, Adam actually died that day. He, Adam, the person, he still existed, was breathing. But the Son of God that Adam created, the image in his image, actually died that day. Well, the same thing could be said of you in the opposite. You, everything you were when you came to the altar, everything you had, everything you were, came from Adam, died the day you were born again. You were still there. You kept breathing. But you actually died and were born again. A better way to say it is the old man died and you were created and became a new creature now with the inner man that's alive, still wearing the outward man. But you were created that day. You were a new creature. You started that day. That's the day that you started. So much so that the angels celebrated when you accepted Jesus the same way new parents celebrate when a baby is born. That was your birth, the day you were born again. So let's quit trying to fix and shine up what we brought to the altar, and let's mortify that, and let's grow in who we are in Christ. The growing is in the inner man, and we mortify the outward man. Verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers, the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. You know, when you get around elderly people, maybe in their 80s and 90s, they have a lot of their friends passing away. A lot of their history, people they grew up with passing away. You begin to see life kind of like that. Life in our generation can seem like a long time, but in the history of man, every generation passes away. And it's kind of like the grass grows and then it dies. It comes and goes. Well, that's kind of like the history of mankind, that man are born and then they die. But you're no longer of that. We're no longer of the flesh. But the word of God endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. See, the growing is in the new man. The inner man must grow in the things of God. If indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by man, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as a living stone, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So it's important to know this here, because we have in our modern church so much of a two-tiered system, where you have the fivefold ministry, and then you have everyone else. There's the pastor, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the ministers. You have all fivefold ministries. And then you have everyone else. The teachers are in there, all five. And you go to church, and you sit there, and you receive from the five and help them out. And there's so much, listen, there's churches that actually believe that if a preacher, a minister of the gospel, prophesies to you and says, thus saith the Lord, that you have to do it. Even if you don't agree with it or don't understand it, you have to obey or you're disobeying God. There is craziness out there, control out there. Here, when he's talking in this writing, Peter is not talking about the fivefold ministry. Not talking about the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. He's talking about the body of Christ. Every one of us. And he's saying that coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by man, but chosen by God and precious. You also, not in your calling, you as a person, as a child of God, as a living stone, you're being placed in this spiritual house, this spiritual temple. Paul would call it the body of Christ. You're being placed and holding and participating. You are a living stone, and you're being built up in a spiritual house. You are just as important as any apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher. You, your place in the body is equally as important as any other man or woman in the history of the church. And that's why it's so important that we take hold of this as a body of Christ, that we're supposed to grow up in God. We're supposed to mature in the things of God. We're supposed to quit being newborn babes and grow up on the milk of the word and the teacher of the Holy Spirit. What an adventure we have before us. So many, listen, there's so many great things that God has in front of you, in your future. I'm talking about earth shaking, family turning upside down, shaking things, financial things, miracle things in your future. But you have to grow up in God first. You have to follow Him down this pathway of transformation. Therefore, is also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion, verse 6, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the building rejected has become a chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Talking about the Jewish people that stumbled on Jesus being the only way to God after His being glorified. They stumbled being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Now look closely, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Your outward man that you were left with, this outward body, the outward man, the old man, the outward soul, mind, emotions, desires of the carnal man are still here. They resent this message of transformation. Because what you're basically saying to your outward man that you kept when you came over to salvation is, I don't need you anymore. You're not the source of my life, the source of my happiness, the source of my protection. You're no longer the source of my victory. Everything I need comes from God. And who I am and who I'll be is dictated by God. And the outward man doesn't want to hear that. The outward man wants to participate. Do you know there's whole messages designed in the name of Christianity to appease the outward man of people? To make you feel purposeful, to make you feel a part. The body of Christ has come to the place to where we as people become need fillers of other people. And so I meet your need and you accept me and we become kind of helpers to each other. I meet your need, you let me feel purposeful, and we form a church. And we just keep that cycle going. I'll keep meeting your need and you keep making me feel purposeful. And we do it all in the name of God, but there's so much more than just that. Because what God really wants is not for people to need you, but for them to see Jesus in you and need the Jesus in you. So eventually they don't need you anymore. Eventually they're walking like Jesus the way you are. Verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, talking to you, the believers, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Christianity in many places has been captured by certain cultures. And those cultures, they make Christianity serve also their culture. I've seen many people in the name of politics, in the name of race, use Christianity to help in their cause, in their social desire, their cause, whatever cause that might be. And verse 9 says, stop it. Your cause is to only be about Christ. Your cause is that you are now part of His family. Your cause is to minister the gospel. That's it. Bring forward Jesus to this earth. How sad have we come as a church to the world? How sad has it become? You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. That's who your roots are. That's who you are now that you're born again. A holy nation. His own special people. Listen, you can go to work, go to school, go to your family members and say, Just want to announce I'm no longer of this earth. I'm a child of God. I belong to God. You want to make your mom and dad sad, don't tell them this, but if you want to, you can tell them the truth. I'm no longer your child. I'm a child of God. Now, I can't tell my mom that because she'd whoop me even now. You are my son. But you are a chosen generation. See, this verse should be the plaque on the wall of the church to remind people from this place is where we go forward. Not from the place that you brought into Christianity. Not from the family you brought into Christianity. Not from the culture you were in when you found Christianity. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That is the gospel. That's it. Proclaim His praises, who brought you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Man, the modern church needs to get out of the business of the world and get into the business of the gospel. Verse 10, who once were not a people. You once were not a people, but now, the people of God. You are of the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained a mercy. You were of a people before. Whatever that culture was, you did not have the mercy, but now that you're a child of God, you have mercy. You're full of mercy. Your Father loves you. Verse 11, beloved, I beg you, as sojourners. Sojourners means that you're in a place that you don't belong. You are on a journey through that place, but you're not living there. You're on a journey through the place. As a traveling minister, we would travel to many places. And the way you live when you're at a place for a week or 2 weeks or even a month is different than how you live when you're home. Earth is not your home. You are just on a journey through this earth. So quit trying to live. Sorry, I'm preaching now. The message to the church. Quit trying to live here. You're on a journey through the earth. So live like someone who is here to make a difference. Not one who's going to just live here. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. Pilgrims means that you have a home somewhere else. You are traveling. You're going to that home. Your home is with God. I won't even say heaven is your home because that's not accurate. Heaven is just a holding place. Heaven is a temporary place that people go now when they die, if they're born again, waiting until the trumpet sounds. Waiting until they get their new body and the earth is burnt up and folded up like a garment. In the heavens, the universe is folded up. This whole universe is going to collapse upon itself and burn up like fire. And through that, God's going to rebirth it the same way He rebirthed you. And He is going to give us, the children of God, this new earth and the new universe to live eternity with God in. Heaven is not our home. So where we are pilgrims of is not even heaven. You're pilgrims, you could say you're pilgrims of the new earth, but the proper way to say it is you're pilgrims of the family of God. God is your home. God is your family. That place that Jesus went to prepare, that was your place in the family of God. And then He invited you to be born again into that family. He's not building you a mansion in heaven. I understand a lot of people had visions, and that's just because the vision God had to use was with their understanding. But the truth is, there's no mansion waiting for you in heaven. There's no comparison who gets a bigger mansion, who gets a smaller mansion. We all have an equal home, place, with God as our Father, seated at the right hand of Him in Christ Jesus. You're not even beside Jesus. You're in Christ Jesus. I used to think that there was God the Father, then Jesus the Son, and then the children of God, starting with probably John, then Peter, then all the people got born again. And way down the line is us 2,000 years later, born again. And we can look down this long line of people seated next to God and billions of us born again, looking down. Hey, Jesus. But then I realize we are seated in Christ Jesus. So it's not even next, 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 next. It is in. We are all seated right next to the Father in this family in Christ Jesus. That's why God's expectations on us as His children is to grow up from the moment we're born again and be like Christ. You can't do that with your outward man. Your outward man will try, but he can't. It has to be developed on the inside in your inner man. And that's why the only place to get that truth, that wisdom, that love, is if you spend time with God. Can't get it from someone laid hands on you. And I hate to tell you this, if you're going to be on this message of transformation, you might as well settle. You're going to have to live a life where you include praying in tongues, where you include private worship, where you worship God privately. You're going to have to include reading and meditating and confessing the Word of God. And even you're going to have to include fasting. This is where we grow, and this is where God is able to lead us forward. I hear people say, well, we just need to hear God and listen to God and obey God. Well, that's okay, but if you're a newborn babe, as it says here in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, what instructions can I give a newborn babe? When Harrison was newborn, what instructions could I give him? He could hear me. He heard my voice. He knew I was dad. He knew Christy was mom. He knew who his parents were. He knew strangers' voices. I don't know that voice. He could hear me even the moment he was saved, the same way you can hear God the moment you were saved. But what instructions can he give you if you're a newborn babe, if you're immature in the spirit, if you haven't spent time learning who Christ is, if you haven't spent time maturing, you remain as a newborn babe, what instructions can God give you? What can I tell my newborn baby? Can't tell him to go drive the car. But now that my son Harrison is 16, I can tell him, go drive the car and go. I call him, he's my Uber Eats now. We need food, you're going to go get it for us. I can send him and give him more instructions. And when he gets more mature, I can give him more instructions. If you want God to begin to tell you to go pray for people, then grow up first. Grow up first in the things of God. And then you'll find he will get you so busy, you won't have time for anything else. The way to get God to use you is to grow up in God. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable amongst Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, but your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Let's get excited on this journey. So many of us, myself, I'd say myself especially, started out thinking, I'm just a weakling, I'm just a failure, struggling to do good. And if I can go back to my younger self and just say, you need to get excited out because there's great things ahead. Yes, there's a great fight with your flesh. Your outward man's not going to like this message. But do you understand that God believes in you the same way he believed in Jesus? Do you understand that there's a pathway for you right now on this earth that if you go and transform, spend the time praying and seeking God, then there's things that were never possible in the natural realm. There was things never possible from your natural person that are possible for you to walk in. Blessings, prosperity, the power of God, the authority of God to be your part in the body of Christ. That's all possible now because you're born again, but it's not automatic. You have to grow up. You have to spend time with Him. You have to spend time in the Word. Start those practices. I wish I had that now because it was so easy to go minister to other people. It was easier to minister to other people than it was to deal with my own natural man. Transformation, it's your pathway to everything God has for you on this earth. Let's not wait until eternity before we enjoy what God has for us. Let's take the time so that what we bring to our family, what we bring to our friends, to our neighborhood, to our cities, to the world, is not us, Alan, in the name of Jesus, but it's Jesus through the vessel of Alan. You are a child of God. You're born again of God. God has great, incredible things for you. Let's not stop. Let's not quit. Let's not be discouraged. Let's be excited. This is an amazing journey before you, a pathway of victory after victory. And yes, I don't want you to think it's going to be easy, because it will be a fight not just with the enemy, not just with the world, but even within your own natural man will fight you, because your natural man does not like being told, I don't need you anymore. Great, great things are ahead. Let's do this. Let's spend time praying in tongues. Let's spend time in worship. Let's not give up. Let's continue to read the Word. You say, well, I've been doing that and it's not working. That's impossible. It's impossible for you not to grow if you spend time in the Word of God. It's like telling a woman, well, I'm sorry, your baby's not grown. You need to give it more milk. The milk is what makes the baby grow. The Word will make you grow. It's impossible for you not to grow if you're spending time with God. I love you and thank you for listening to me and being on this journey with me. We have wonderful things ahead. You have wonderful things ahead. You're not behind. You're not weak. You are an incredible child of God with incredible things in the future. And you have God, your Father, who believes in you and loves you. I'm going to take this notes, and I'm going to write them down, and I'll have this will be available on our website on the link below, where you can print out what God says about you if you like. Thanks again. I love you. God bless you.